Okay, today is March 14th, 2016, the 2015 Life Coach Training Cohort. This is Coach the Coach 3, Class 2, Group F, as in Frank, with Chris Brandt. So welcome, everybody. I see that Stephanie just jumped on the call, too. Hello, Stephanie. So I am excited
Hello.
About Metaphor Tool because I just love it. And I, but before we get into all of that, I just want to hear how you guys are doing with dream analysis. Barbara and Susky and I had a chance to talk a little bit before the recording started and the rest of you jumped on, but share with me. Tell me what's happening. Tell me how things are going, and I'd love to hear more. Anybody have any questions, too, about dream analysis? How's it going?
I guess, Chris, it's Amy. Something interesting has happened with one of my clients, the non-cadet client.
Uh-huh.
I've done the dream analysis with her twice, and she's a theta healer. She's also clairvoyant and clairaudient. Mm-hmm. And every time we do the dream analysis, well, I should say the two times we've done the dream analysis, it has taken us into a past life regression.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's kind of
very
wild.
It's the first time it was actually coached her that we did the dream analysis. We hadn't even touched on it yet in class, and I had read it in the binder, and she's like, I had a really wild dream the other day, and I said, well, you know what, let's give this a whirl and see what happens. And it went and stayed with it, and it flowed very nicely, but it just went to this, and I guess, I don't know if it's really a question or maybe it is, but it, you know, with that kind of a situation, I mean, obviously I'm not trained in past life regression or anything like that, but I just stayed with it, did a lot of why questions. She ended up going into the theta state, so it was almost like talking to somebody who was in that dream state, and it was really helpful for her. I mean, I hung up the phone feeling incredibly nervous and like, oh, did I botch that up? And I mean, she immediately was like, I want more sessions. And so I guess to just go with it, is that, you know, when you're kind of in a situation like that, that makes the most sense, and not to, I guess, freak out about it, right?
I love that. I love every word you just said for all kinds of reasons. So here's why. what I love about it is that you just went with it, and that's what coaching is, right? It's just going with it, and look at what happened. The outcome was that your client wants more.
Yeah.
So sounds to me like everything went beautifully.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting.
When I first heard about, you know, clairvoyant and all those other things, I thought, oh, you know, wow, I could have gotten myself a little nervous about that too. But I have one client who's like, she describes herself as a highly sensitive person, and she dreams really, really vividly. And she also can see things. And I don't know that she'd necessarily be clair anything in the traditional sense. I think she's afraid to identify herself that way, but she always has these hits of intuition that prove to be pretty wise. And initially when I started working with her, I was really worried that I wasn't going to do it right and stuff. But over time, mm-hmm. I've come to find her to be my favorite client because I find that I feel more intuitive around her because she's just so open. And
yeah.
Maybe that's what happened with you. What do you think?
That's definitely ringing very true for me right now because I've been practicing with several people. I kind of put myself out there a little bit, which is crazy that I'm so panicked for tonight. But whatever, that's a whole other issue. And some of our lovely cadets have done a lot of wonderful work with me this week, including today, to help prep me. But with her, she's so intuitive, and she just so gets it that it almost, even though it kind of goes into this like really wild, interesting place, she like we're on the same page.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't call that a problem at all, or a nice problem to have. How's that?
Yes. Thanks.
Excellent. Thanks for letting us know about that. Anybody else? Questions around dream analysis or how are your experiences going? Share with us. And I see that Cy and Laura have also joined in, so hello.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi. Anybody? Anything about dream analysis?
I have a quick question. This is Saskia.
Okay.
I think this is a lizard brain question, but during dream analysis, if I'm doing it on myself and if I get something that feels like a big shift and kind of a big leap in a sense, part of my brain says, well, if this is my brain telling me something, like, what if I'm wrong in a sense? Do you know kind of what I'm saying? Like, what if I'm interpreting this wrong?
So are you feeling like you can't trust the tool? Is that kind of a short, and I don't just mean the tool, I mean the process. What's going on? What's going on for you?
I guess so, yeah. Or
okay.
No, I guess I'm not trusting myself.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's kind of like the use of any other tool, believe it or not, in that, you know, we start off trying it, and it feels kind of weird, and then stuff starts happening in our head, and then we see our client shifting, in this case yourself or yourself, and we're not sure that, oh, my gosh, how did that happen? Could I do it again if I had to? Oh, I don't know. Is that really, is that legit? What, well, could I trust? What? Lizard, right?
Yeah.
Can you hear it when I describe it that way?
Totally, totally.
Yeah, yeah. I the way I think of dream analysis is that I feel like God speaks to me in my dreams. There, I said it, I used the G word. You know, I feel like spirit, some presence, some loving presence is bringing me images when I'm less conscious, less awake, quote unquote, in the traditional sense, so that I can hear it, so that I can start processing it, so that I can hopefully remember it when I wake up and use that delicious information, all those symbols and metaphors and signs, to just allow them to mean whatever they mean in the moment that I remember them and as I look at them. Right before we got on the phone, remember we were talking about the fact that somebody, I don't remember if it was in your group or in the morning group, but somebody had posted in the dream analysis discussion thread that they were wondering about doing dream analysis on recurring dreams, like a dream that they had had a while ago and have had a lot. And I wrote back, yes, and yes, and yeah, you know, something like that, meaning I would do the dream analysis as many times as you want to on a dream that recurs. I, for example, have a dream that is about elevators, but it's never the same. The elevator, the only thing that's similar is that the elevator car is never the traditional box. It's always either round or tubular, or it goes in weird directions. It doesn't go straight up and down. There's always some twist to that. And I've done the analysis on that pretty much every time it's occurred since I learned dream analysis, because I want to understand why it keeps happening. And I haven't had it in a really long time. I thought maybe after I posted about that I might have it now, but I haven't. But the interpretation comes out a little differently each time. So I think, Saskia, that part of it is, and this is just my hunch, I have nothing to base this on except my own experience. I think that for me anyway, the dream analysis, just the fact that, yes, it is me interpreting it, is the beauty of it. Because it's what am I making my dream mean? Kind of like when we ask that question back in thought work, right? What are you making that mean? Or, you know, we're always looking at what our clients are dealing, you know, the circumstances in which our clients find themselves, and the thoughts are what their brain makes the circumstances mean. And so here, in a different way, you're creating meaning out of stuff that came from another part of your brain. You know, think of it more right brain maybe. You know, it's just a deeper part of you that came through your brain so that you could wake up and remember it. I don't know. That's just what's coming to me as I think about what you've posed as a question. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Anybody else? Questions around dream analysis? Anybody have any fun dreams that they worked on with somebody else, and were they surprised by what they found? It's okay if you didn't get to do any dream analysis. Sometimes you just don't dream. It's all right. All right, everybody. It sounds like we're done with that part, but as always, feel free to, you know, to ask questions later on when we come on back to that. I noticed on the discussion thread that Deborah volunteered to be the client and Amy volunteered to coach, so I'm thrilled about that. We're not going to start coaching just yet, but I just wanted to point out that I had seen that, and I know, Saskia, you had mentioned that you would love to be coached or be the coach. So we'll, so far we've got 3 out of 4 of our people for our pairs. So just keep that in mind as we're talking and as we go through tonight's class. So let's turn our attention to metaphor. I love metaphor. How many of you had a chance to listen to at least one, if not all 3, of the recordings, the demos?
I did.
A couple times.
A couple times, wow. So that gives me a sense of just...
I was prepping.
You were prepping to be the client.
To be the coach. It's Amy.
To be the coach. Oh, it's Amy. Okay, I thought it was Deborah because you guys are right next to each other on my screen. I didn't notice the difference. That's funny. Well, did you watch Martha's video too?
Yes.
I have a little tiny teeny secret to tell you about that. So we coaches, you know, we teachers and instructors have all been like, we love the metaphor tool. And back in, wow, I'm trying to remember when this was. I want to say it was over a year ago. Let's call it 18 months ago. Abigail and the Life Coach training team decided that, you know, new videos would be a really great idea. So the videos you guys are seeing are not the videos that cohorts 18 months ago or whenever and longer back watched. Those videos used to be a whole bunch of tools clumped into one video, and the video would be like 20 minutes to a half hour long. And we have to bookmark where things were in the videos, and the videos never lined up quite right with, because they used to be shown when Martha would do her classes. And so sometimes people would already have learned certain tools and not others. It just was nuts. And so we separated them out into these, you know, one video per tool and that kind of thing. So there's this big, long list of videos. They scheduled all this filming out at Martha's Ranch with Abigail and Bridget and all the other people you see in the videos and stuff. And then it came time to do the metaphor tool, and Martha was like, what's the metaphor tool? And Abigail was like, Martha. So she's like, oh, I didn't realize you guys had given that a name. Uh-huh. It was so cute. You know, she works so much in metaphor that she kind of didn't realize that we'd called it a tool, you know. So it was very cute. But so that's why that video always makes me giggle, because she's describing metaphor, but she's not necessarily taking you through the entire technique, which is why we had 3 demos for you to listen to, so that you could see plenty of us, you know, working with it and using it in the form of Terry and Jessica and Javo and everybody else. So that's my little insider secret. Okay. So with all that said, though, the metaphor tool is really, really helpful in this sort of square 2, square 3 place that we're talking about through all these coach 3 classes. And I like to think of it, and hopefully you guys printed out the handout called Dream Analysis versus the Metaphor Tool. It was a PDF document on your class page. A lot of coaches over the years started to ask us the difference of how we use this, and they were kind of using some of the dream analysis methodology in working with a metaphor, like having a metaphor describe itself to them in 3 adjectives, and it was getting all confused. So we created this handout. I think it's really helpful. So I'm going to refer to it a little bit while I talk here. I think, you know, these tools are really subtle in the sense of because of the fact that, you know, symbology comes up in so many different ways. We're going to work with it again next week in the form of the living space tool. We worked with it last week in the form of the dream analysis. So dream analysis and metaphor in particular are the ones that stand out. Living space is a metaphor tool. We like to think of dream analysis as being a little bit more in square 2. It's a little bit more about finding out what a symbol means. it's a little more reflective. It's a way to process emotions, and it's really, there is definitely a process, at least to the first part of it. In other words, when I read that little blurb in that chart there that says process-oriented, to me what that means is, you know, last week you got a template, right? You had an actual sheet that you could fill in, those three columns. That part's very process-oriented, and then it becomes a little bit more loose and intuitive and flowy, if you can call it that, when you get to the debrief where you can help the client rewrite the story. You can offer up your insights based upon what you heard, the energy you felt as the client became the symbols, and so on. You can ask the client what their insights and ahas were based upon what they heard you read back. And you can kind of use that to sort of play and become quite fluid. With the idea behind it, again, is all about what does this mean, right? So kind of it goes to Saskia's question around what does this mean, and being a little afraid to interpret that, but just trusting that there's meaning that's being given to you in the form of a dream and the symbols. The symbols in the dream. With metaphor tool, you're already moving a little bit more into square three, I like to think of it, although, you know, we always talk to you about square two and three and so on, and sometimes they're not so clearly defined. Sometimes you can use metaphor as you move from square two into square three. So hold those terms loosely. But the idea with this metaphor tool is to look at an issue or a problem that the client has in their life, and perhaps it's one that brings up a great deal of emotion or brings up a great deal of confusion. With metaphor, what you're doing is giving the client a way to detach from it a little bit and create a little bit of distance, a way to sort of observe it a little more neutrally without the emotion attached to it. So it's a way to sort of, it says here, exterior observation. It's kind of like, Martha in the video talked about the fact that the right brain, you know, solves metaphors, and the best way to solve a problem is through metaphor. It's the best way the brain can puzzle crack, as she called it, which is, you know, for problem solving. And so, you know, I love what she said about every object can be metaphorically connected to your puzzle. So what you're asking here is for your client to tell you how the metaphor is like their problem, or their problem is like a metaphor. How is this like that? And you're kind of helping a client create some relationships through that. So you help them by going into a metaphorical state, if you will, and I know that sounds really funny, but it'll make more sense in a second, and then have a client look at and play with that symbol. Try to crack the puzzle of that symbol in that place as opposed to talking about their real-life, quote-unquote, situation. And so if you listen to Jessica and Javo, that was the first of the three recordings, the longest one that's about, I think, 33 minutes, you could hear Jessica sort of guiding Javo through, you know, so what about this? What would it look like? And, oh, that you can put this bouncy, rafty sort of thing, you know, island in the water, and who would you bring into the water, and what it would be like to dive in, and all those sorts of things. And then she started to slowly say, so in your real life, what would that look like? And that's what we're after. The problem solving starts to happen inside the conversation about the metaphor, the symbol. And again, this will make more sense in a minute. Start again, Chris. This will make more sense in a minute. So just to kind of go back to the comparison between dream analysis and the metaphor tool, those big bold headlines really say it all. Dream analysis is symbol interpretation. And so, you know, the client might say, I had a dream last night and there was a monkey who kept jumping on my back. And so you would ask the client to become the monkey. You would, you know, ask a bunch of questions and complete that chart. If you were doing the metaphor tool and somebody was talking about their struggles with money, they might say, I feel like there's this monkey that's always on my back. Same monkey appears in both of those scenarios. But basically, if you look at it from the metaphorical perspective, the client is saying pretty much that their relationship with money is like a monkey on their back. So pretty straightforward. If your client said something like that, you know, I had a client once say, I feel like I have this big, giant ball and this big, giant lead ball in a backpack on my back. Okay, well, let's start looking at that. Do you want it there? How did it get there? What does it feel like to have that big giant lead ball in a backpack on your back? Put it in the backpack. Is there other stuff in the backpack? So you can sort of play with it. And you can see some questions like that there on that sheet on page two. If a client doesn't make it easy for you and give you, you know, say something like that and hand you a metaphor, I don't for sure. You know, if they were to present a problem and say something like, I'm really struggling with money, and you can say, you know what? If money or that struggle were an animal or a person, a place, an object, grab an image. You might have heard Terry use that phrase in one of the demo recordings. Grab an image. What would it be? What's the first image, the first symbol, what have you, that comes to mind? And then you can start playing it from there. And you don't need to ask all these questions that are listed here and bulleted, and you know, they don't go in any order. It's less process-oriented than dream analysis. It's really like improv. You just sort of have a conversation with the client to find out what they see or how they picture this situation as it relates to the symbol and all the rest of that stuff, metaphor as it relates to that stuff. So this, again, is really moving into the art of improvisation, right? This is where you really get to let your intuition flow and really just let it rip. You know, Amy was talking about what happened with her client, and she just sort of went with it, and look what happened. Who knew, you know? And that's really what you're after here. I don't think there's a bad way to do metaphor tool. I think it's just a question of staying with it. And this came up in the morning class. I interrupted one of the coaching pairs and said, okay, because I sensed that the coach was starting to move really hard into problem solving with the client, and it felt like they were back on real life a little soon. And then I said, I suggest that you just stay with the metaphor for a little while longer and just let that deepen. And then the client at the end said, it was really helpful to stay longer. And I noticed that Javo and Jennifer said stuff like that in their coaching conversation demo too. So that's the only thing I would, you know, just suggest to you guys is just hang in a little bit, see if you want to play. I can certainly offer up lots of suggestions and examples as you're coaching or listening in. We'll debrief about all that too and look at what might you have asked or what were some questions that you would have posed or what direction might you have gone in. So even if you're not coaching tonight, you know, take some notes because I'd love for us to have a little rich conversation after each of our coaching vignettes. So with that said, and before we move into Amy coaching Deborah, who has questions about metaphor tool, about what you heard, about what I just said?
Chris, it's Laura. I have a question.
Sounds like Laura has a question and someone else. So, Laura, you start, and then I'll have the next person ask.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick question about metaphor. I love the idea of the metaphor tool, and I love the fact that it relies, it becomes more instinctual as you're working through it. The question I have is about when to use that tool because, you know, within the literature and, you know, as you're reading whatever, there's a lot of mention of using it in square three, like square two, square three, dream analysis, metaphor tool. Is there any reason why you would not use the metaphor tool early on if you have a client that's really stuck and you've tried other stuff with them? That you think that, you know, like my thinking is I have a client, I'm thinking by using the metaphor tool and removing emotion, it might allow her to loosen up a little bit more and dig deeper towards the source of her pain.
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Because I said earlier, you know, that you can, that we suggest and we say quite often about square two, square three, this is where this fits, that's where that fits. But even that's, you know, a little arbitrary. And I'm not saying, I would recommend that you don't use metaphor tool if a client's absolutely sobbing on the ground. And, you know, I think metaphor might be more than they can do. But on the other hand, if you look at some of the things, like in that little tiny blurb called Metaphor Tool Simplified that's in your binder under today's class, I don't have it in front of me, but I remember, I think Martha wrote that, and it says something like it's particularly helpful in emotionally charged situations like parenting and dating, and I forget what they all were. But if you've got somebody who's really, my gut would be to work the thoughts first. But if thought work isn't working or they feel stuck in the problem-solving situation, if there's a lot of emotion, Mm-hmm. Go for thought work. Go for trying to ease the thinking, because the suffering is always caused by the thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once they're a little past that, if they just feel a little stuck with where to go, then you're
mm-hmm.
already into square two.
Mm-hmm.
You're already starting to dream and scheme about how you might want to make it different.
Yeah.
And so when you're in that place, you can begin to use the metaphor tool. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense when I describe it like that?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Somebody else had a question.
Yes, it's Vi.
Hi.
Hi. So my question using the metaphor is when you ask the client questions, because I kind of tried it on somebody yesterday and kind of dived in and improvised, and I kind of got stuck, and I kind of managed to get through. But then I was wondering.
I love all the kind of.
Yeah. And then and when I was asking her questions, and I thought, oh, what do I ask? So, and then I just kind of fumbled through it, and what I got was you're asking questions to get the perspective of the client, looking at the object or having that around, or, you know, is God one way to do it?
Yeah, you're not asking them to become the metaphor, the symbol,
right, right. So,
or whatever
yeah.
you grab. So
I was clear.
It's like giving them the sense that they can go ahead and
mm-hmm.
observe it in a detached manner by looking
right.
at the image, et cetera, rather than becoming it.
Right, because I think I got confused, because I was like, oh, this is kind of similar to what we've done with like focusing or body channeling, and I was like, no, but I don't think you're trying to get the perspective of the symbol, but more of how the client feels around it or what she thinks.
Yeah, it's what
right.
the client
okay.
sees. It's not the perspective
right.
at
right.
all.
Right.
That's the big difference.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, good. And I have one more question. So I have this client who has an issue with anxiety, and it keeps coming up with it to work with it. But it's still, and I think she's getting better because she's becoming more aware of it. But I thought this might be kind of a thing to bring to metaphor. And would I use, say, anxiety? Like, what object or thing do you see when you think of anxiety? Would anxiety?
I would go more
specific,
right? Because we don't coach in generalities, as you've heard us say before. So if
uh-huh.
she says to you, I'm really worried
yeah.
that I'm going to fail my test. I just made that
okay.
up. I have no idea if that's a
uh-huh.
belief of hers. But, you know, I'm really – or a fear of hers. I'm really afraid that I'm going to fail my test. I just can totally see myself failing. I'm going to fail. Like, let's just pretend that's an issue, just so we're not coaching in generality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if that were the issue, you'd say, so I'd like you to grab an image. What is failing the test conjure up in you? Person, place, you know.
Mm-hmm,
what's
mm-hmm,
the first
mm-hmm.
image you see when I say failing a test?
Mm-hmm.
And use that image.
Okay. So can
like
I say something
failing a
like,
test as opposed to anxiety?
Right, right.
Makes sense?
Hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. So can I say something like, what image comes up when you think of not or thought of being awkward?
I would just say, give me an image for awkwardness.
Okay.
But again, it's if they're using the word awkward, so you're using their words
right.
in that
right.
moment as opposed to trying to come up with your own interpretation,
mm-hmm.
right? You're just
right.
kind of mirroring their words back to them. So,
okay.
yeah, try that. See what happens.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
What if that's really helpful, by the way. So thank you, Sai, for asking that, because I was thinking the same thing when it's more of a verb. But what if you're working with a client who's not very visual and they can't come up with something? Are there ways to kind of, you know, like poke around a little bit more? Like, what would you suggest?
The first reaction I have to that, because I have some clients who are like so left brain, it's ridiculous. my first inclination would be, well, let's see if I can't take them through a guided visualization. Like, see if I can't get them to just kind of calm down, you know, sort of ground themselves, feet on the floor, take some deep breaths, close their eyes, you know, that kind of thing. Just sort of, you know, almost like a little bit of a body compass thing, but not necessarily a body scan. And then just say, now imagine yourself in, you know, you've just talked about this situation. I'm going to use failing a test again just because that's what we just work with. So, you know, you've got this concern about failing a test, or you've got this problem of how am I going to pass the test, you know, however it manifests that client. So imagine that fear, that concern, you know, how do I solve this test? How do I pass this test? So when I ask you that question, what do you see in front of you? And they may go, what do you mean? just what do you see? What images? Imagine that there's an image before you that represents your concern about how to pass the test. What does the image look like? What's the first? Nothing stupid. There's no wrong answer here.
Yeah.
And so it may work and it may not. You know, you may have, that's what we always say about tools, right? Use whatever works, and if it feels like it's not working, then metaphor tool is not a tool you're going to use with your client in that particular session, or maybe ever. Who knows? Okay?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Well, let's hold the rest of our metaphor questions until we actually have some practice doing metaphor, because I'd really like to get two coaching pairs in. And we've got one queued up, and I'm sure Amy's got herself all kinds of nervous. So she told us, she was like studying and listening to things multiple times. I'm just playing with you, Amy.
So, well, I said earlier I should have had a glass of wine before this call, but I didn't. All right.
So, Amy, what I would love for you and for everybody else on this call to just take a minute, close your eyes. Deborah, especially, because she's going to be the client. All of you, though, take a minute, just close your eyes and listen to the sound of my voice. And cross your legs or your feet or your arms, and your body sort of loosen a little bit, chairs or however you're sitting. Or just loosen. Take some deep breaths in and out. Inhale, love. Exhale, fear. Inhale, delight in being with one another here on this call. Exhale, anxiety. There's no doing it wrong. And we're all together in this journey, supporting each other and loving each other along the way. So, Amy and Deborah, I'd like to spend the next, 20 minutes or so just seeing if we can find out what's going on with Deborah and see if we can start playing with metaphor and see what wants to come up. I'll be here if you need me. I will do my best not to interrupt unless there's some really important moment. And I'll kind of warn you when we're getting close to wrap up. All right?
Okay. Hi, Deborah.
Okay. Hi, Amy. Amy, I just have to tell you that I'm probably as nervous as you are.
We're
entirely
get through this.
Reasons. I know. I'm just pretty private, and I haven't talked much on these calls, and now I'm going to have to be very vulnerable. So we should both
have
some time.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be the client this time, because I, you know, like I just said, I'm a little nervous, but we'll get through it. We're going to be fine. So what's going on with you?
So, well, I just, I'll say it as much of a nutshell as I can. So in about 4 or 5 years ago, I went through a period, actually it was less than that, 2 or 3 years ago, I went through a period of 4 or 5 years where I lost both my parents, got divorced, had to sort of her financially after the divorce, and sent my son off to college, all within the space of really less than 5 years. Like, I always lose track, 3 years or something. So my life totally transformed, and I spent a lot of time in square one after that, and then got to square two and really kind of pulled things together so that I felt like I had reached a really good place and was sort of transforming myself and starting over. And now, and I guess, you know, this is just life. There's always slippage. So even when you think you're going to, you've gotten to where you wanted to go, then you never stay there for very long. So now I'm an attorney. That's my profession. And so I've kind of pulled that together since my son went off to college and started working a lot more than I had been while I was raising him, which is helping with the money issue and the, just, you know, giving myself an identity issue. And I started doing coaching training because I'm really both left-brained and right-brained, and that kind of balances out my attorney side. And I'm in a new relationship, actually, that I've been for about the last year. But now with a really wonderful man, although I'm still not, I don't know if he's the man I want to spend the rest of my life with. So I guess at this point, I just sort of hit this place in the last couple of weeks. I think part of it is because I had that respiratory virus that everybody's getting, and you just, you know, get sick and look at your life and go, what the hell am I doing? So I'm kind of looking at it all and feeling like, is this what I want? Is this going where I am? It just all seems kind of wrong right now in some ways, and maybe not in other ways, but I don't know. And so I've actually been losing sleep over it because I feel like, so here's my metaphor. I feel like my life is a speeding train, and it's getting close to the end of the line because I'm getting older. And I had all my practice runs, and now this is the real deal. Maybe I'm mixing metaphors here. And I don't know if I'm doing it right. I could be, you know, I'm not, because I had to start over so late in life, I'm not at all financially secure. But I'm at least blessed to have a profession that enables me to try to get there. I just don't have much time. And so I'm just kind of I guess I'm in a place of fear, which is unusual for me. Usually I think I can handle anything. And I look at things really optimistically, and I think everything will work out. But I think it's because,
I'm going to interrupt.
Sorry, I'm going here's on and on.
No, here's why. Your brain is afraid.
Yes, definitely.
You said about that you were nervous. What I'm doing is also illustrating what a coach might do in a situation where a client spends a lot of time talking about a situation. You're not doing a thing wrong, Deborah. Not one damn thing. You are on track, and you are giving us beautiful stuff to work with. So I just want to make sure I say that twice. But I'm interrupting because we've got a little bit of an abbreviated situation here in terms of how much time we can spend on the call. So I'm also illustrating something for you guys. When your client is starting to get nervous or scared, what you start to hear sometime is, they've got a lot of things they want to say, and they're really afraid, and they're, you know, she's got some really big stuff. Like she said, she's questioning everything in her life, if you listen to Deborah, right? It's really hard to find a metaphor that's going to sum all that up, or is it? So I want to stop our client, put her in a little cone of silence for the moment, and just check in with Amy first and then with everybody else who's listening in about whether or not you see any metaphors or symbols yet. She has one for us, but I'm curious. So, Amy, what is
it? I wrote slippage. She had said slippage earlier, and so I wrote that down and circled it because I was kind of curious what that looked like. And then when she had said she hit a place, what the hell am I doing, you know, and what do I want, you know, my question would have been, well, what is that place? And I could kind of feel that she was going
And that's something where I struggle with. And I know we have an abbreviated time tonight, but it's like I don't want to, like, put the brakes on and stop them when they're having a thought. But at the same time, like what's the right place to kind of intervene and say, okay, hold on.
Okay, so I'm going to just interrupt you for a minute because now you're asking a bunch of questions because you're nervous. So let's stick with what's the issue at hand. What metaphors did you see?
The slippage and the train.
You saw ahead of place. Was there anything else?
The speeding train, of course.
The speeding train. Anything else beyond that? Just a second.
No.
So now I'm going to put you in a little cone of silence as well as Deborah and check in with everybody else. So who saw any other symbols besides those, if there were any?
I'm not sure if I heard her correctly, but did she say running out of time?
She did.
That caught my attention, running out of time.
Okay. Yeah. What else? Anybody else see anything else?
I noticed that with the speeding train, it sounded to me like there wasn't anything at the end.
Mm-hmm. So it could have been an exploration of where's the train, like what's the destination of the speeding train?
Yeah, there seemed like an emptiness there and kind of that perked my ears.
Okay, cool. Any other metaphors, symbols, potential symbols that they spotted as they were listening to Deborah and Amy just a minute ago?
I'm not sure if there's anything metaphorical about this, but I find it interesting that Deborah said that in the past few weeks she's gotten sick with a respiratory virus. And I wrote down, she literally said it all seems wrong in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
More of a Marmoset thing, but I'm also thinking that the illness, like the respiratory virus, to me that's interesting, and then you're feeling everything crash around you right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering if there's a connection there.
Yeah, I mean, and I think she even said something like, you know, as one does when one's lying in bed and suffering. She didn't say quite those words, but there was almost like an as one does conversation hint when she was talking about, you know, the way when you feel crappy like that. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Notice all these different things, Amy. See all these different ways. You had a couple. Other people had some you didn't even get. There are plenty of ways to go. And you were saying, how can I know when to stop the conversation or interrupt? There's a part of me that wants to let her talk. Both of which are correct. It's correct to interrupt, and it's correct not to. And I know that's a little paradoxical, but for the purposes of tonight, I interrupted because I'm watching the clock. And I also want to tell you that sometimes it's really, well, not sometimes, all the time, it's really important for us coaches, as our clients are speaking, to feel what the client's energy is getting like. Is the energy spiraling? Is it getting bigger and bigger? Is the fear I had a sense that if we kept going, Deborah was just going to, what's the word I want to use? I almost want to say pile it on. And make it tougher to parse out or find an image to grab onto because there are so many. Huh? So I don't know. I could be totally wrong about that. We're not even going to check that out with our client because we don't have time. But I just wanted to open it up for discussion so that you, Amy, could see something, you, Deborah, could see something, and for the two of you now to come on back together and see if any of the images that you, Amy, or any other coach besides Deborah and me on this call have come up with feel like they're representative of the problem. Because I think, and this is what we'll have to find out, Deborah will tell me where I'm wrong, I think the problem Deborah has is she's not sure that she's satisfied with the direction her career, her relationship are going, right? So that's a lot of different problems in a sense. So you might have to break down and pick one. I think that would be the best way to go for tonight, but let's see. Okay, so I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let you jump back in, Amy and Deborah, and I'm here if you need me.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Okay, Deborah. So you mentioned that you felt like you hit a place, you know, with some questions, you know, what the hell am I doing? Is this what I want? What's the visual that comes to your mind when you're thinking of that place?
You know, I think it was Saskia said something that really resonated with me about that I hadn't thought of when I was mentioning the speeding train. But the fear of nothing at the end was like, wow, maybe that's it. Am I going, where am I going? And I can't see the end. And yeah, it's kind of scary, I guess, too.
So that fear of nothing being at the end, can you kind of visualize where you are when you're looking and you're not seeing anything at the end?
So
where are you?
Okay, well, let's say I'm on the train.
Okay.
And I don't know, excuse me, I don't know where it's going. So I'm just watching out the window. And
what does it look like out the window, Deborah?
There are lots of trees that are just going by really fast. Yeah, I just see trees going by really fast.
Is it sunny? Is it cloudy? Is it dark?
No, it's kind of overcast.
So it's daytime but overcast?
Yes.
Who's on the train with you?
Good question. Well, I think a lot of the people I care about in my life are on the train with me. And which is a good feeling that they're all there. But I'm feeling kind of isolated. I'm feeling like I'm sitting off by myself. Nobody's sitting right next to me. I just know that they're there, and that gives me a warm feeling.
So you're sitting by yourself. They're there. You're just sitting by yourself.
Right.
What does the train look like inside?
It's a little bit shabby. it's a little bit shabby where I am anyway.
Can you describe the shabby
train
a little bit more? Are there colors that you see?
The upholstery is sort of worn, and I'm seeing like brown walls, which kind of gives me a feeling of shabby. I think the seats are more sort of, they have blues and greens in them, but kind of worn.
Do you want to be on the train?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't think I do, because I don't like that it's shabby.
Is there any other reason why you're not sure besides it being shabby?
Yeah, there's a fear about where it's going, and the unknown of where it's going. And whether there will be anything at the end. That is,
you want to get up?
You know, anything positive at the end.
What was that?
Oh, whether there will be anything positive at the end. This sounds so nihilistic, and I'm really not like that at all.
Here's the thing. Okay. Know. I'm interrupting.
Okay.
Because our client wants to start qualifying what she sees, right? So I'm just sort of interjecting a little forcefully, because I'm being bossy, with our client, because they're, you know, I sound nihilistic, and I'm not really that, like, no, it's okay. There's no right or wrong image here, right? So I just did it in a forceful way, but I'm doing it to sort of help you see. You're allowed to. You're allowed to. You don't have to do it the way I did. You know, you can be a lot more diplomatic than I was, but you can say, okay, we're not going to worry about that. Here's the other thing that I want to point out. Right, you've done a great job with Deborah, Amy, of asking her to describe this train that does this destinationless train, or maybe it has a destination and Deborah can't figure out what it is. And so if you think about this, remember, this is a metaphor for what Deborah is experiencing in her life in some way, or the feeling, the description that she's giving you of a problem in her life. So if you start thinking about the way you would problem solve if the client were on that train and wanted to learn the destination, what are some things our client could do? If not having the destination is the problem and wanting to know so she can decide whether she wants to stay in a train with shabby brown walls or not, does that make sense when I describe it that way? Does that feel like something that you could do with her?
Like asking how she could figure out the destination?
Yeah. Yeah, just sort of working with it and seeing. So, you know, it sounds like the problem is that you want to know where the destination is and you want to, you know, you might want the train to change direction or you might want to get off the train. Tell me where I'm wrong. And just see. And then once you have a clearer sense of why not having a destination is a problem or what she might want to do, then helping her start problem solving. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And yeah.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Oh, hang on. So I feel stuck. I know you just gave me something.
Beautiful job. You were doing a beautiful job. I just threw you for a curveball there. That's all. So
no, that's all right. So it's really going in and asking.
So Deborah's on a train, right? And Deborah has mentioned a couple times that she doesn't really like being on this train because it's kind of dingy and shabby, and she's not necessarily sure she wants to stay on this train. But, you know, she's not sure she wants to be on it. And part of it might be because she doesn't know where it's going, and part of it might be because it's shabby, but we don't know. So we want to start exploring that by asking her some more questions. Do you want to be on this train? Do you want this train to stop and let you off? Do you want to find out the destination and then make your decision? Like, you know, go that way.
Okay.
Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, Deborah.
Okay.
So you mentioned you have a fear about where it's going. It's unknown. How could you find out where the train is going?
I could ask the conductor. I could do that. Definitely. So
you. Do you want to ask the conductor?
I guess, well, yeah, I think I do. I think I do.
Would you rather? So the conductor is not there.
No, I haven't seen him since we've been having this conversation, or her.
Okay. Would you rather ask the conductor where it's headed, or would you rather the train stop so you can get off?
That's a really good question. It feels like a really good question. I'm not sure immediately what the answer is.
What's coming to mind?
I don't know. I just don't. Nothing's coming to me in terms of whether I'd rather stay on or get off.
Okay. So what's happened here is we've just asked a question that's sort of making our client nervous about a response or wanting to think about it a lot or that kind of thing. And you did a beautiful job of just saying, okay, so what's coming to mind? And she's not sure. So tell her she doesn't have to answer it and find another question. You know, like think about if you had your best friend was on this train and she was concerned about being, you know, on a train she wasn't sure she wanted to stay on, she wasn't sure she liked the dingy brownness, what might be some things that you would suggest to her to get more information to decide? You know, like you can play with that too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so one thing I was thinking was,
how does
okay,
one decide to be on a train or not, you know?
Or even exploring, walking around and looking for the conductor?
Exactly. Beautiful.
Okay.
Love that.
Okay, are we ready to continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so Deborah, can you walk around and see if you can find the conductor? See if you can find the conductor?
Yeah, but you know, when Chris said what she just said about if it was my best friend, what would I tell her to do? I would tell her to get off the damn train. And we'll sit down and have coffee and talk about it, and then we'll decide whether she wants to get back on or not and make a plan. Like, I can think of what I would tell a friend to do. I can't think of what I want to do, but I can think of what I would tell somebody else to do. Is that okay to say that?
Of course.
All I'm thinking right now is that's absolutely okay to say that and think of what you would do for your friend, but what would you want to do?
Well, now that I know what I would tell my friend, I guess I want to get off the train and just like stop everything. Let's sit down and talk about this. Let's have coffee. Let's enjoy ourselves and let's figure out whether I'm meant to be on that train or not. And
okay,
then
Chris.
Get back on or get another train.
Amy, did you just ask if, did you need my help? Was that what you?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I'm getting is.
So here's the.
Go ahead. I was just going to say what I'm getting is maybe hit the pause button, right? And just kind of take a step back and evaluate everything. Is that, you know, am I throwing a hunch out there? Like, I'm just kind of like, where do I go from here?
Well, what's beautiful is your client just had, I think, an aha. Because think about what she just said. If this were my friend that were on the train, I'd tell her to get off the damn train and we'd have a cup of coffee and we'd sort this out. And so you can take that back into Deborah's real life and say, what would taking yourself off the train and having a conversation and sorting it out look like? What would, in real life, what would taking yourself off the train look like?
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Go for it.
So, Deborah, what would taking yourself off the train look like?
So, I think... I think it would look like it's funny because I feel like some weight has been lifted. It would just feel like I've been, I feel like sitting on this train, I've just been sitting around just sort of chasing my own tail and not knowing where to go, and getting off is like, it would look like just stepping aside, not trying to figure it all out while the train is speeding ahead, but sitting down and just figuring out some action steps about how I can look at everything. I mean, I kind of do that all the time. I'm kind of a problem solver.
Yes, your client's in another thought loop, so
now?
I'm interrupting on purpose.
I do that a lot.
Your client doesn't want to know what getting off the train looks like. Tell
right.
me where I'm wrong, client. Right? So your client has just stumbled on something that she knows and doesn't want to know. Tell me where I'm wrong, because I could be wrong.
Yeah, well...
Okay, that's all we need to know. We are not committing you to doing anything right now. And this is something that I will say to a client all the time in a coaching conversation, because they'll have an awareness and go, oh, now that means I have to act, right? And so she already sort of started to go down that path, our little client here. She started to say, well, I think I want to, I don't necessarily have to act. I want to just take some time. I want to hit the pause button. Perfect. You can do that. And just know that stepping off the train is an option. Or play with the question, what would stepping off the train look like? Right?
Right.
So she found some relief, and then her brain wants to go in and go, oh, well, it needs to look like this, then I need to do that, or then I have to make a list, or then I have to commit to, and we're just slowing that train, that sucker down, so she can jump off of it. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did that help, Amy? I realize I jumped in again.
No, I'm glad you did. This is, no, it's very, very helpful to get your feedback, and I'm grateful for you jumping in like that, because I don't necessarily know where to go with it.
Well, and our client's got a really, really active mind, and she's not at all unusual in that. You know, all of us, I mean, never mind that her lizard's probably going on about, you know, well, there's so many big things and life's too short and I'm going to die soon. And if I don't figure it out and if I stay in this career forever, I'm going to, you can imagine the 87 jillion thoughts that could be going along with this metaphor or this problem. And so when you keep it in the symbolic place, it's like, so the metaphorical solution is to step off the train. Now when we bring it back into your life, we start looking at what does stepping off the train mean? It could mean to her, quit my job. It could mean to her, take a leave of absence. It could mean, call in sick tomorrow. It could mean, I'm going to decide not to decide.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't look the same for me as it would for her, because it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what Amy thinks. It matters what the client, Deborah, thinks. And so allow them to say, I can play with what jumping off the train looks like. It takes a little of that emotion and that fear and that level of lizard fear away. Sorry,
and one thing I'm
talking and I keep talking.
No, it's Amy. One thing I was thinking too, which, I mean, and I did this with another non-cadet I was practicing with, where it was more baby steps, right? So maybe it's not even jumping off the train or stepping off the train, but just like letting the train slow down a little bit. Like,
yeah,
that,
or letting the train come to a station.
Yeah.
You know, she might believe that it's destinationless, and it may turn out that she just missed the announcement. You know, like playing in the land of metaphor, right? It could be that the announcer, that the conductor made an announcement she didn't hear. And so that's the beautiful part about metaphor, is you can just start saying, oh, so did you hear an announcement that said the train wasn't going anywhere? Okay, so you didn't see a conductor. Okay, well, maybe there's a trainsman at the front of the train who's driving it. Maybe you could step into the to the engine, or whatever the front's called, I'm forgetting, the locomotive, and you could take charge of the wheel, if there's a wheel in a locomotive, again, I don't know. You know, so you can go so many places with this metaphor, and we didn't get to half of it today, and that's fine, but it's just this idea that you can start taking these little snippets of pictures, and with the amount of time you have, you can start using the picture, the image, to help paint another picture, or to start figuring out what's another way to look at the same problem, the same issue.
Yeah.
That's really the whole point. Questions from Amy, Deborah, anybody else? You guys did an amazing job.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Amy. That was great. I'll just share that for me, I think getting off, what was kind of clear to me at the end was getting off the shabby train, was getting off this fear of not having financial stability for the rest of my life. That's probably why the train was so shabby.
Oh.
And and looking at and just, you know, getting away from that and figuring out, I'm not sure what that's what the next coaching session would be about.
Wonderful. Anybody else? Anything to share, other observations, questions about what transpired?
I this is Sai. I'm really now loving the metaphor tool because it's so creative. And it gets me really excited.
Yeah.
You can go so many different directions.
I love it even more than dream analysis. I just love Square 3 tools. Coach to Coach 3 tools. Yeah, they're really beautiful.
Yeah.
Because you just, it's so freeing and it's so, so creative, I guess.
Yes. Very creative.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Sai. All right. Thank you, you two. And again, my apologies for all that interrupting. You gave us such beautiful stuff to work with, and I love that. So I know that Saskia wanted to be coached. So if we could find a coach for Saskia, we could squeeze another session in. So who would like to coach Saskia? And they all get quiet. Hey, Stephanie, you feel like trying it? You're allowed to say
I'll give it a try. Yep, I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you for letting me volunteer you.
Yeah. My first time coaching on the call, but I'll give it a shot.
I love it. Congratulations for doing it. All right. So I'm here if you need me. I'll try and shut up.
No, I'm sure I'll need your help.
Okay.
Sorry. Hi, Saskia. How are you?
Hi, good Stephanie. Thanks for volunteering.
You're welcome. So how's everything going right now? Is there anything kind of in your life that's troubling you right now?
I am in the middle of a separation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm getting stronger in myself. And then I waffle back, and I get scared of making a mistake.
Okay.
Or I'm having a hard time, like, I'm realizing I'm pretty shitty at boundaries with my husband, and just, yeah, that's kind of where, well, I guess I'll be more direct. I realized that I want a divorce and I want custody of my kids. And that's scary to me because it's just a scary place.
Okay. Can you speak a little bit more about the boundaries that you are trying to make?
So Will has said I left because he said he didn't want to be with me anymore and he had an affair. And so I left and came to Portland and he didn't really stop me at all. And now he's saying he would like to be closer. There's a lot of other things involved. I feel like I want to justify myself, but I'm not going to. So he's saying he wants to be closer. And at first I felt like totally out of control and was like, oh my gosh, he said that he wants to be closer. I have to move. I can't believe that. And then it's like I got this little voice being like, you can say no. It's like I think I'm realizing how to stand up for myself a little more. But then I also feel out of control sometimes.
And if you kind of had to think of an image of what feeling out of control would be, what would that image look like?
Free falling.
Do you know what you're falling from?
I just see myself falling, and it's just like blue skies, and I'm just falling. Like, mm-hmm. I can feel myself kind of almost, like, panicking a little. Like, I feel my heart, yeah, I'm falling. I'm just, like, falling.
Mm-hmm. Do you see anything below you?
It's like the earth is really far away.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything around
small.
You? Is there anything
I'm
around
kind of, I just, this is like, I just saw a white bird fly by.
Oh.
But I'm like falling fast.
Okay. And you're falling down. Is
yeah.
that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel the wind? What do you feel around you?
I'm sitting here with a huge smile on my face, which is an interesting response. Like, I mm-hmm. went from panic to kind of like, oh my gosh, I just saw a bird fly by.
Can you describe that bird a bit more?
If the bird had to talk, like if I had a conversation with the bird, it would be like, hey, hey. It's as if the falling wasn't scary any. It's like it was as if the falling wasn't scary anymore, or it wasn't foreign. Does that make
mm-hmm.
sense?
Mm-hmm. And if you could talk to the bird, what would the bird kind of say back to you?
Fly.
Mm-hmm. And can you fly?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel now?
I think that that's probably why I'm smiling. It's like,
mm-hmm. And what would it take to make in your real life? What would it take to reassure you that you can fly? Who would that bird be, or what would that bird be?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay, we can go back to the bird then. Do you know where the bird is going?
It's
or do you want to follow
just,
the bird?
I think the bird reminded me that I could fly. And then the
mm.
bird was gone.
Okay.
So I don't want to follow the bird.
Okay, but do you know where you want to go now? If you're not, are you still falling or are you flying?
I want to fly. So I stuck out. Yeah, I can fly.
Okay, and what does it
kind of
feel
like? Peaceful.
Mm-hmm. If you look around, can you see where you're headed?
I don't have to choose now. I can just fly.
So there's no path. You're just flying along?
Yeah, it's like I can enjoy flying right now.
Mhm. Mhm.
Without kind of like back and forth, just back, forth, and like enjoy the flying part, not the landing part.
Mhm. So if you kind of switch from falling to flying, everything kind of seems a bit more peaceful. If you just kind of go along with the ride, is that what it kind of feels like?
Yeah, it's not as much going along with the ride as if realizing that I don't need to fall. It's not, okay. It's like I'm not in a free fall. I'm not actually in a free fall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can you possibly draw a relation to how that could be with your current situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it kind of ties back to the question in the beginning. It's like like everything that's happening is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm not actually falling. I'm like just, I'm having a hard time getting into words, the feeling.
That you can fly on your own.
What comes to me with, like, some emotion is, like, it's okay. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds reassuring.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not really sure where to go with this next. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You've just reached a segue.
Okay.
Your client has, it sounds like, experienced some release. Tell us if I'm wrong on that one, Saskia.
Yeah, I went through, like, total release, and now I just kind of feel, like, sad, but it's not bad sad.
Okay, cool. So what your client's describing is she's able to just be with what is.
Okay.
It started off feeling scary or, you know, a free fall, and that came good, and, you know, those sorts of things. And now she's saying, okay, I'm just going to be here, and it's sad, but I can just be present with what's happening, even if there's grieving going on. Tell me if I'm wrong about that, Saskia.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
So what would you recommend? What would be next steps?
Well, I think I would try this and see how it lands with Saskia. So Saskia, if you were to hold on to this image of the conversation that you had with the bird and what came out of it, which was to fly, and which over the course of the conversation seemed to move into, I'm just allowing what is to be. I haven't landed. I haven't fallen down. I haven't, like, nothing bad's happening here. It's just happening, and I'm just sad. How could you allow and fly and float as it relates to your divorce?
I can, I can stay in my experience and not try to control, like, how the other person's going to feel.
Okay. And does that feel like flying or floating? Does that feel like that good feeling you had a few minutes ago?
Because I think the feeling of flying is it's a peaceful feeling by myself and trusting myself. And what I think I've been worried about is, like, well, what will he think? Well, what will, you know, it's been over in his business.
There you go. So that was a segue, you guys. All I did was just say, so how can you take this back to your life?
Okay.
Kind of like what we talked about in the dream analysis last time, you know. How do you take the insights that you got here and apply it back? Like, in your real life, how do you apply this to the problem, you know, or to the divorce? That was the situation our client described. So that's the segue. Really that simple. And you can feel how when a segue is at hand, kind of like because you just had a sense of, I don't know what to do next, because something felt finished, I suspect. Mm-hmm. Tell me where I'm wrong about that, Stephanie.
Yeah, it did. And it kind of like, yeah. That's exactly what it felt like. It was like, okay, then now what's the next step?
Yeah. So it's like, oh, when you start to feel yourself going, well, something just shifted or something.
Yeah.
Like there's a new, it's almost like there's a new movement in the suite.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget what the terminology is with a symphony, but, you know, there's a new movement. We're at a new part of the music here, of the session,
mm-hmm.
to use a metaphor. So it's really just about, okay, so how do I now bridge? And that's what the term segue comes from. It's a musical term. How do you bridge from one section of music to another? I referred to that last too. So that's just a way to do it. It's like, okay, so it sounds like you got some relief here. How can you now take that and use that feeling that you experienced inside of yourself as you were flying and it wasn't free-floating anymore, or free-falling, excuse me. How could you take that and apply that to your situation? And then sometimes you get into some practical steps, like what would it look like? You know, she said she was afraid, I'm making this up, she didn't say this. But what could it look like if she was afraid to have a conversation with her husband about something to do with custody? How can you take that feeling of flying rather than free-falling into your conversation? How could you, you know, that sort of thing. So, again, I'm just riffing here, but that's the kind of stuff you do. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Sure. All right, you two. Nice job. I'm really curious to hear what other people have to say about that conversation. Any other ideas come up for you about how you might want to segue with Saskia? Did any of you also have that, what do I do now? Did you feel that energy shift and or something sort of finish up? They've all fallen asleep.
Yeah, I could feel that. And I sometimes you do feel like, okay, where do I go next? I get that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some, I mean, I've actually said to a client, wow, I feel like we're about to shift to something else, and I'm not sure where we should go next. Does this feel complete for you?
Oh, wow.
Or you could say, I feel like we've just moved on to, you know, like we might be done with this part of our conversation. Do you feel like you've got some more peace around this issue? Is there more that we need to talk about? Or would you like to talk about something else? Again, part of that and what question you decide to ask or how you decide to segue also depends upon what time it is, quite honestly. Because if you're, you know, 3 minutes away from ending the time together, you're not going to start doing thought work, you know, or you're not going to go into some deep dive on something. Or you might say, so, you know, we're almost done for today. Does this feel like a good place to stop? I've asked my clients that countless times, you know. Does that feel like a good place to stop? To me, it feels like we might have just sort of, you know, come to a logical end to our conversation. What do you think? And I go, oh, my
and
God,
they,
I,
like...
I really wanted to tell you X. Or, by the way, did I tell you Y? Or, you know, whatever. You don't know. Sorry, somebody was trying to ask me a question as I was finishing up.
Oh, no, I was just wondering, when you ask them that, do they feel like, are they, like, relieved by that? You know, I wonder if they sometimes don't know where to go to.
You know, I mean, it kind of goes with, you know, all of our coaching values that we talk about BTAO, you know, be transparent, authentic, and open. There have been plenty of times in a coaching session where I've gone, I'm a little gobsmacked. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do now.
Really?
Thoughts about this. Oh, yeah. Why not? I'm not the expert of their life, right?
That's awesome.
I'm totally going to run out of ideas. It's okay. That's what flying feels like instead of free-falling, allowing myself to just be present. And I will tell you, 9 times out of 10, maybe even 9 3/4 times out of 10, if I admit that, as the words are tumbling out of my mouth, I think of something that feels like it might be worth trying.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
if I
wow.
stay with, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I can't possibly tell the client what to do, because if I tell the client what to do, I'm supposed to look like the expert. And it's just all going to go to hell and back. You know, if I stay there, nothing can penetrate that. too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's that does.
Yeah. I don't say it in very often anymore, but I often worry that I'm, like, not saying it enough, like, oh, I'm so cocky and confident about where to go. But really, I mean, for me, it's just like, oh, crap, give me a minute, because I'm not sure what to do with all this. I've said those exact words.
I would appreciate hearing that. Like, I wouldn't mind as a client.
And there may be some people who are totally offended by that or like, you should be the expert. You're supposed to solve my problems. Well, those are not my people.
Yeah.
I want to work with them because I'm not in charge of solving their problems. And I may have alluded to this last week, and God knows we instructors always say it to coaches along the way. You know, you're not responsible for fixing a client's life. They are, to the degree that it's broken. You know, it's really about I'm present. I'm going to share with you what my observations are. I'm going to share with you. I'm going to be TAO. Wow, this feels like it's a really tough situation, but I need a minute to think about where I want to go with this. I don't know.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
Sure. So, Stephanie, it would not be at all wrong to say to Saskia, I'm not sure to go to where, you know, where to go next. What do you think?
Okay.
And in a funny sort of way, because she's also going through the coach training, she might say, maybe this is a time to use a segue if she thinks of that. Who knows? Right? But it's about, that's that feeling of flying. I'm just going to fly and I'm going to point my wings into the thermal. You know, if you think about birds flying, let's use that metaphor. You know, there are hawks that just glide. They find the thermals and they ride them. Why would they flap their wings and do all that effort? I'm going to go somewhere where it feels good to go, where it feels natural to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Glide. So I'm going to glide over there and go, hey, my brain's a little stuck.
Cool.
Anybody else? Comments, questions about all that? Anything else that's come up? Have I totally shocked you? Are you feeling like you want to try this tool this week? What's going on?
I definitely want to try it again. Yeah, it's interesting.
For sure. Very. Be really patient with yourself, you guys. You know, don't forget, when you're hearing the instructors do this, we've been doing it for a lot longer than you have. Doesn't mean you're not going to be able to do it. It just means we've been doing it a while longer. It goes back to all that stuff Martha talks about with 10,000 hours of practice, a la, what is his name? It just totally blew, that totally spaced out. The guy who wrote Blink. Anyway.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Thank you, Malcolm Gladwell. My brain just won't work. But yeah, just, you know, you're just going to need a little bit of practice at this, and the sooner you dive in, the more fun it gets. And Stephanie, you know, for somebody who said she hasn't coached and she was really worried, I think you did a beautiful job.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that too. All right. Going once, going twice. We've got like 2 minutes left. I'm happy to talk about whatever needs talking about related to metaphor, dream analysis, coaching in general. Fire away. I'm here.
I just wanted to say, Chris, this is Saskia, that you brought an awareness to actually that I was just sticking out my wings and gliding. So you kind of added more that I don't have to like try so hard.
Oh, I love that.
Glide. So
that was the feeling I got when you said, when the bird said to you, fly. Immediately, I felt my wings. Like I almost felt my arms lifting up. I felt my wings just relaxing into some flow. And only
it wasn't
like air. But I couldn't have described that to you in that moment. It just occurred to me when I was trying to, you know, talk about segues.
Yeah, that's exactly. And when you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's another big piece to it. It's like not flapping wings and trying. It's just like sticking out your arms and gliding.
How's that for a beautiful metaphor, huh? Right? You can just allow yourself to be effortless.
Yeah.
Instead of flapping your wings. Think about when birds fight. This has been kind of on my mind today because I live on a pond and I have geese and ducks and, You name a critter, they're out there somewhere. And it's spring, and you know, it was 70-something degrees here today. And my neighbor actually came outside, and he went, "My God, look at all the activity on the pond." I said, "Those male geese are just flapping at each other. Birds are mounting each other. It's just like nuts out there. It is spring fever like you wouldn't believe." So I'm watching these male birds flap at each other and flap and flap and flap and honk and, you know. And so I think, gosh, that wears me out just looking at it. So if you think about that and take that metaphor of, oh, my gosh, I can just keep flapping my wings and exhaust myself, or I can find a thermal.
Yeah.
So there's another metaphor for you. All by accident, had no idea that was going to come out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right? So the metaphors are always there. They always, the more we stop worrying about whether we're going to find them or not, the more we just allow ourselves, here we go, to float, you know, to glide in a coaching session, the more likely they are to show up. When we start to be like, oh my gosh, I have to come up with the perfect picture, or my client's not, what am I going to do if my client's not going to come up with an image, or their brain's working on overdrive and I have to help them get out. Like, that's flapping wings. And when we just go, all right, so now we're going to flow into our coaching session. And then all kinds of delicious stuff comes up, even the segues. They just float up in us. Or we go, you know what, I'm not sure how to bridge this. Can you help me? It's just a metaphor for how to relax into what is at hand. So thank you for that broader metaphor, Saskia.
Thank you.
Okay. One last time. Anybody else have any observations or questions they want to share? Okay. Well, then I wish you all the best for these next 2 weeks. I will see you in 3 weeks on April 4th. So I hope you'll go practice. Please post on the discussion thread for this class if you want to talk about, you know, what's been you've been experiencing or where you're getting stuck or whatever else comes up around metaphor. And I'll start another discussion thread for class 3 where we're going to talk about the living space, which is just one big giant honking metaphor for a client's inner life. Love, love, love the living space too. All right. Take care, everybody. Good night. And I'll see you on the discussion threads in the meanwhile and in class again in 3 weeks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.